Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Back in the fall of last year, we had the opportunity to participate in a large online teacher's seminar. And there was a man, a little bit older than I am, who spoke, and he talked about that a school of teachers is like a school bus. When you begin the year, everybody's on the school bus together. All the teachers are there. And as you drive along, you have some that start misbehaving, so to speak. All right. And some of them say, I don't think I want to be on this bus anymore. I want to get off. And sometimes you have to remove people from the bus and so forth like that. And one of the emphases that he was making is that some people don't understand how important it is to be on the same page. To be on the same page. You ever been frustrated when you thought a certain hymn number was called and you're on that page and then everybody else is at the correct page and you start singing the wrong hymn? I've done that before up here leading, where I started leading a song and I was perfectly... Happy leading that song, except it wasn't the one that I said to turn to. And I had the wrong one, and I was belting it out. I had to stop and get on the right page and be on the same page with everybody else. We've all had those situations. Here in John chapter 6, there's a situation that's recorded in this passage of Scripture about a man who was not on the same page with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord geared a particular question to him to bring this out and to put him on the right page. You know, God does that. God does that with His children. I'm thankful for that. That He cares enough to say, now wait a minute, before we go any further, you got to get on the same page with me. And some people struggle with that. Some people struggle and they want to rewrite the page so it fits their agenda, all right? And Jesus wasn't interested in that. He wanted His disciples to get on His page and follow Him. Do I hear an amen? Get on His page and follow Him. Why is that so hard? Because people think, most times, we're all guilty of this, that we're right. The way we want to do it is the right way to do it. You know, I've learned over the years that sometimes a way can be much more efficiently done another way. There's a lot of ways you can do it. There's a lot of ways you can tear down a house. You can tear it down and save the boards. Mr. O'Pager took the bricks down off of one house, brought them to his house, and built his whole house with bricks from another place because he was careful in taking down the bricks. Yes. Oh, wow. He took them all apart and used that for brick for his house. So your mother had a real problem with you after that? Yes. That's dedication for a mom to clean bricks and get them ready. But, you know, you can do it that way, or you can just bring a bulldozer in and just knock the whole thing down, make a big pile, and haul it off. That's what Michael Whitney likes to see. You know, he wants that big canister full of stuff, send it on the way. There are lots of ways to do it. It depends on the purpose at hand. And the Lord Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, poses a question to one of His disciples. Let's read, beginning at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great multitude come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, here we go, here's the disciple, says unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. The Lord Jesus had already decided what He was going to do. So why did He bother to go over to Philip and ask him, whence shall we buy bread and these may eat? Well, because he wanted to test his disciples. How many of you have ever been tested by God? How many of you have failed the test? I failed the test sometimes because I wasn't studying. I wasn't studying his word. And Philip here is going to respond to this whence question. You know, whence is an adverb. And whence means from what source. All right? So let's read it this way. From what source shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Was that what the Lord asked? I have thought about this many, many times over the years. That's not what the Lord said. Whence? From what source? And immediately Philip runs to the what question. The Lord says, from what source? Philip says, from what bank account? All right, that's not what the Lord said. What did the Lord say? From what source are we going to get the bread? He was asking the question, do you believe I can supply everything that these people need? And Philip immediately said, if we went out and we bought 200 penny worth of bread, it would not be sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, Philip immediately threw up the wall. Boom. All right? Rather than listening to the question. How many times have we heard a question and we jumped over to another train of thought that hit us in the head and we missed the whole point of the question? That's exactly what Philip did, and he was not on the same page with the Lord. We're going to see he's going to get on the same page. Praise the Lord for that. He's going to get on, but he's wrong about this because he was thinking a different way. Let's go on. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So here we have the next step up with another disciple says, hey, we've got a lad here. He's got, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many people? That was a possible source, wasn't it? But was that what the Lord was getting at? All right. He says, we've got a source here. We've got a lad that brought his lunch. But that's not very much. So the Lord ratchets it up even more. He says to them there in verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus, now think about that. That's half the city of Milton. 5,000 people. Just have them sit over there in the grass. All right? So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, notice that how many times that comes up. Disciples. He had the disciples delivered. Disciples, you go pick up the leftovers. Leftovers? There's leftovers? Yeah. Notice this. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, now pay attention to the word of God here, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that who did? Jesus did. Now, folks, this is what Philip missed. He was on the wrong page. He was thinking, what we can do, if we go back and get 200, penny worth, it's not going to be enough for this people. The other disciple steps forward and said, we got a lad here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but it's not going to be enough either. Who was left out of the equation? Jesus. And don't you forget it, because we're just like Philip, and we are just like Andrew. We see the limitations on this side, and we're quick to point those out, right? Don't you love people that always point out everything that's going wrong, but they never can seem to point out how to get it right? It's just amazing to me. Well, this is wrong. This is just something that... Blah, 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 blah. All right, what solution do you have? Well, that's your job. Really? How come it's not your job to think up something? Why can't we do that? You see, we're not on the same page. We're not on the same page. Philip and Andrew pointed out the inadequacy of the moment. But who did they forget to point out? The one who could fill the inadequacy and give plenty and have extras left over. We're having to plan Aunt Carolyn's party, and I'm figuring numbers and talk to the people at Olive Garden. I said, oh, what do we need to get? And we were working out all the numbers and said, well, if you got really hungry teenagers, the number could be this. If you have not so hungry teenagers, the number could be this. I said, please, you know, give me something to go on. You know, we look at the limitations. We look at that. You don't want to go buy a bunch of food that we got tons left over, but you don't want to be sitting there saying, I'm so sorry, we don't have any food for you. And the line's halfway around. We came to this birthday party and there's not enough food? Yeah. You'd be hollering, wouldn't you? Because you're hungry and you wanted something to eat. And Pastor Brandon said there was going to be food there. We're good at pointing out the limitations. Right? There's no way. We'll empty our bank account. We still won't have enough money to take care of these people. Hey, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they? They're nothing compared to this crowd. And Jesus steps up. He steps up. Bring me the food. And he starts doling it out. And they keep coming back and there's more. And they keep coming back and there's more. And then he says, go get the leftovers that are there and bring them back in. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. This is where I part company with ultra-dispensationalists that say God's limited himself right now. He doesn't do anything anymore. He doesn't do all those powerful things. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen too many people receive salvation that you would never thought could be saved. I heard the testimony of a man not too long ago who was radically transformed, drug addict. We were talking about it in the car, sharing the testimony. Man, he was a drug addict, had all kinds of things, and he got radically changed. He's a totally different person now. What do we call that? That's a miracle of grace. Who can do that in this world? There's not a psychologist in the world that can do that. But there's Jesus that can do that. I've seen the Lord take very little and be able to make much with it. This whole ministry is loaded of testimonies where God just supplied. I'm not buying all this stuff that God chains himself and he doesn't do any more powerful things anymore. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. He's still powerful. He's still changing lives. He's still performing miracles in people's lives. We've seen people that have been riddled with cancer and God save them and heal them. We've seen those that were riddled with cancer and God take them on to heaven. That's a miracle too. Don't limit God with your theology. God's not going to be limited by your theology. And Philip said, whoop, not enough money in the bank account. Andrew says, not enough food in the tray. What are we going to do? You know what they were thinking? We should go home. Let's just forget about all this food stuff. But not the Lord. He said, bring me what you have there. And he multiplied it. I want us to look at Philip here. Because I am not criticizing him. I'm not trying to be hypercritical in my analysis at all. Because I see myself in Philip. And I would imagine that some of you would feel the same way. I see myself. Because there's no way. If we had 5,000 people show up on our campus and they're all hungry. Hey, Chris, how much food do we have in the freezer down there at the ballpark? We don't have that much. We don't have that much. Immediately, we go to a numbers game, right? We just don't have it. There's no way. Hey, we got a freezer full of fries, all right? We've got some cans of chili, and then who are we going to get to break that and spread it? You see, we look at it from this side of heaven. But I want you to know something, folks. We serve a God that can answer prayer in ways beyond how we think. You know, we can get concerned about what's happening in Peru with the leader, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. If that man comes to power that we don't want to come to power, it's all part of God's plan. You understand that? And I'm not going to walk around, I can't believe we lost another election. What are we going to do? We're going to trust God. Because God's unfolding His plan. And one day the trumpet's going to sound. And we're going to rise up to be with Him. I'm not going to stand in His way. I don't want to be one, well, I can't believe Antichrist is coming in. I can't believe I can't support Him. Well, none of us can. And God's going to take care of that, thank you. None of us can do that. But God's setting the table. Well, I don't like how He did the fork and the knife. Shut up and get out of the way. Okay? Now, we would like to have all conservative presidents all around the world. Amen? We'd like to have that. But there's something bigger going on. Little feeble-minded Todd doesn't know about all that stuff. But I know one thing. There's an all-powerful God up in heaven. And my job is not to wish things to be so. My job is to get on God's page and stay there. That's my job. My job's not wish that something else was written on the page. I wish that something, I would have done it differently. My job is to be quiet and get on His page and say amen to whatever the Lord Jesus wants to do. And sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes that means going through trial. It meant for Paul and Peter to lose their lives for the cause of Christ. There have been martyrs that have had their blood shed throughout the centuries. And we have martyrs today for the cause of Christ. That's what it may cost us. But that's what it takes if you're going to be on the same page with God. Now let's think about some of the things here about Philip's statement here. Number one, Philip was not on the same page because when his commitment was requested, he did not factor God into his equation. He didn't figure God. Nowhere in his statement is there the God equation. God can do this. Now think about this. What he had witnessed up to this point. He had witnessed over and over again God in the form of Jesus Christ perform miracle after miracle. He had witnessed up to this point 10 miracles, including 2 resurrections. 2 raisings from the dead. Not only that, but he had a Bible. Old Testament scripture. You remember the Israelites when they were hungry? And they were whining and complaining about, God's brought us out here in the wilderness to die. We're all going to starve to death. And God supplied enough food for them to eat twice a day. Over 1 million people eat twice a day. You know how much food that is? According to one stat that was figured out by a food consulting service who was a Christian man, he said that's somewhere around 67 tons of food a day that was rained down. And then God rained down enough over the weekend so they wouldn't have to go out on the Sabbath day. And it would keep over the weekend. It wouldn't keep on any other day. They ate it for that day, but they weren't to keep it. Because when they got up the next morning, they tried to keep it during the week. What happened to the bread? It was rotten. I mean, it was nasty. They tried to store it. Well, maybe God's not going to remember to bring that bread tomorrow. But over the weekend period of time, on the Sabbath, they were able to store up on that Friday. They had enough to get through. And then God rained it down again on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. 67 tons a day. Of food. Now you think about that. Can God supply our daily bread? Well, dispensationalists, you know, we don't believe in those things relate to the church. I'm going to tell you something. You better be praying. We got some things happening in our country right now. It's called inflation. Anybody remember the 70s when inflation was through the roof? I remember the rationing of gas. Certain days that we went down there and we got our gas, and you could only get so many gallons. because the fuel was not available and the prices were through the roof. I'm so thankful that whenever I went and got my mortgage for my house, that the interest rate was in single digits, because during the 70s, it was in double digits. It's unbelievable how things can change. Don't think for a moment, Christian, that everything's just going to ride along. It's all going to be the same. Every year, it's going to all be the same. It's going to be all wonderful. Okay? Wake up! We're headed for some difficult times. You know why I know that? Because the Bible says so. There's going to come a day whenever they sell the head of a donkey at high prices and dove's dung to eat. That's what the Bible describes in the very last times. Does that sound like a good economy to you? Does that sound like the good old United States of America, where we got Walmarts on every corner and Dollar General and, for Brian, Family Dollar? Yeah. Boy, it's nice to walk into Winn-Dixie or Food Outlet and there's food all on the shelves. But you remember during the pandemic when you walked in to Winn-Dixie and the shelves were all empty? Toilet paper row, yeah. That was more important than food, you know. But I walked in there on several occasions and the shelves were completely empty. And I thought I was in Russia. You know, bread lines, things of that nature. Seen pictures of the Depression era. I want to tell you something. Do you believe your God can take care of you in those times? You better get on the same page. You see, Philip just blocked that out of his mind. And when he heard whence, he said, from what account, instead of saying, from what source? Because there was a source that he forgot about. And who was that source? The Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, why should Philip have factored God into his equation? Why should he have done that? Philip had his word on it from the moment Jesus said, we. Yeah. The Lord Jesus was going to take care of that. Do we have His word on it today? What did He say before He left? Lo, I am with you always, even till when? The end of the age, the end of the world. Yeah, that's what our Lord promised. I will never leave you, nor what? Forsake you. That's the promise of our God. I'm resting on that promise tonight. Because you know what? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to you. I'm not going to know what's going to happen to me. But I do know who's in charge of everything. And I do know that He will take care of us. Number three, Philip also forgot to apply what he knew about the Bible, the record of the Old Testament and God's supply. I think about during the time of Esther. Boy, times were tough then. There was a law saying that the Jews were to be killed on a certain day. Can you imagine that happening in the United States? That Congress passed a law, all Christians will be killed on July the 4th, 2021. Anybody that finds a Christian, you're authorized to destroy and kill Christians. Well, that never happened in the United States of America. It happened in Israel, to Israel. It happened in bondage. Don't live with your head down in the sand. Understand, things can happen. But what was the one constant during that whole time? God and His power and might. Because God had a plant right in the palace. Amen? What was her name? Esther. And Esther had a godly man behind her to keep her straight and to make sure she understood what her role was. And God made sure that she would be able to interact with the king. And the king responded favorably to Esther. And as a result of that connection that God made, His people were spared. And to this day in Israel, they still celebrate what is known as the Feast of Purim. And you know what that's a remembrance of? The great deliverance that God gave over this foreign nation that was going to wipe out all the Jews. 6 million died in World War II. Israeli nation still here. God's preserved. In spite of all of Satan's
work.
Number four, Philip also limited his vision in spite of witnessing 10 miracles by this point. And by the way, after this event, there's another 22 miracles that are recorded of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just kept on and continued to show, I'm powerful. I can take care of things. I can raise those that are dead. I can supply food. He did so twice. He can turn water into wine. Now think about this. Jesus had already turned water into wine, healed an impotent man, stilled a tempestuous sea, healed a centurion's servant, raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, healed a blind man and a dumb man, and cast a legion of devils out of another man. Philip had been present for most of those miracles as an eyewitness. And yet, whence shall we feed these people? Well, if we went to the bank and got 200 denarii out, or pennies worth, we wouldn't have enough to feed these people. That's normal, natural thinking. I'm not criticizing, because that's how I would think. And that's the challenge of the moment. Why did God record this in John chapter 6, this event of targeting Philip, hearing the response of Andrew, and then feeding 5,000 plus, and then having leftovers? I don't know about you, but I love leftovers. I think lasagna and spaghetti always taste better the second day. It's had time to marinate. I'm making some of you hungry. Starting to wake up a little bit. Some of you are looking up. You said, it's food? Are we having food? Yeah. No. Listen, Philip limited his thinking to just himself and to how we supply needs here on this earth. You can't afford to do that, Christian. We've got to look beyond that. We've got to look to our God. God raised up this campus off a sandy, pine tree-covered piece of property, and it's been ministering to souls and children for 50-plus years. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. If God can do that, and God can use different individuals and raise up people through the years, boy, it's an amazing thing to see some of the folks that served. You know, isn't it amazing how God is able to use limited people and do mighty works? God can do that if we don't limit Him. We're gonna talk a little bit more, because there's some practical applications that I want to make in regard to this passage of Scripture that I think will be helpful to me and to all of us here, that we need to get on the same page. Don't ride the bus and fuss about the driver. Okay? That's easy to do. Well, why don't you get up here and drive? I can't do that. Then shut up, please. Okay? Put a cork in it. Stop talking. If you're not going to help, not going to get on the same page, you don't have anything to say. Because the Lord Jesus is driving. You know, I've said this for many, many years, that some people, if the Lord Jesus came down and umpired a T-ball game, they'd find a problem with it, because that's just what they like doing. They like finding problems. I want to tell you something. Don't argue with the bus driver. Get on board and ride to His glory, to His tune. And wherever He stops, you be happy with that. And whenever He says, let's go, let's go! Because one day, the bus is going to arrive and the trumpet's going to sound. He's going to get up a load. He's going to take us to heaven. I pray it's not only a yellow bus. Dr. Hobbs used to say that. If he ever got to heaven and saw a yellow bus, he'd think he'd gone to the wrong place. But whenever the bus comes, you be ready to go. And until then, get on the same page. Get on the same page with the Lord Jesus. Father, bless us now as we go our ways tonight. Lord, we're not criticizing Philip, and we're not criticizing Andrew, because we could easily put our own names right in those slots. I could easily put my name. Well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but that's not nearly enough. Oh, if we even went down to the bank and we got 200 penny worth, we wouldn't have enough to feed these people. That's just how we think. But Lord, we need our thinking transformed by Your Word, and realize that there's another factor. And wow, what a factor it is, the almighty power of God. I pray that You would stir our hearts tonight to follow Your Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.